Service contracting makes up a giant collective bill for the Pentagon. DoD currently spends slightly more on services, including research and development, than it does on military hardware and other products. And that's been true for more than 10 years, according to annual statistics compiled by the Center for Strategic and International Studies. It's too early to tell whether that ratio would change in any significant way under DoD's 2015 budget plan, but each of the military services say they are developing methodologies to prioritize their service contracts and buy only the services the military needs, not necessarily all the services a local program manager might want. Elliot Branch is the Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Navy for acquisition.
So there's capability needs validation. Do I really need that? And I think we're all probably in the services, I think probably across government, we're very bad at that. And the analogy I like to use is if you are a squadron commander in naval aviation and you decide to borrow an aircraft from your neighboring squadron commander because you think your squadron can be bigger, you will be in Portsmouth Naval Prison before you can say Uniform Code of Military Justice. But if you are a program manager with a dollar to spend on services contracting and you have a willing contracting officer, no one blinks an eye. So what we're trying to do is drive, back to the left, if you will, the idea that we understand what that demand looks like, and that demand actually supports a valid military need. Because, I can only get so many dollars out by competition. I can only get so many dollars out by writing an outstanding statement of work or doing my administration right. What we've concluded is it's got to be, at least in a large part, appetite suppression in an austere environment.
Heidi Hsu, the Assistant Secretary of the Army for Acquisition, Logistics, and Technology, says her service, too, is taking a department-wide look at service contract spending.
Now we're looking across each portfolio, okay? We're taking a look at a knowledge management portfolio, the construction portfolio, engineering portfolio, every single piece of the portfolio. Literally, we're racking and stacking one to endless in terms of priorities, okay? And then we have a portfolio manager who looks across all the commands who are buying perhaps the same item to figure out the synergies that we can garner by looking across. So we're deep diving into all of that.
Hsu says that deep dive is still in its early stages and hasn't produced any action plans as of yet. The Air Force, though, is undergoing a similar exercise, prioritizing its service contracts across the enterprise. But at least for now, Lieutenant General Charles Davis, the military deputy to the Assistant Air Force Secretary for Acquisition, says their focus will be on knowledge-based services.
Because as we've all been told to reduce our headquarters 20%, and so as we look at military and civilian and services, that all counts within that total 20% bogey that we have to work for. So we're in the process of going through a very challenging process right now of how we reduce the headquarters level, MAGCOM level and above, of the Air Force by 20%, and how our services would contract would play into that.
Davis says the Air Force is also hoping for improved central oversight and management of all of its service contracts as a result of its recent decision to use the General Services Administration's OASIS contract vehicle to buy most of its professional services.
Whether it's the OASIS contract you reference or other large multiple award IDIQ contracts where we can almost make it mandatory use or at least highly recommended use to be able to reduce the cost of these things we buy across every command in the Air Force and try to get some synergy of cost in that and try to bring down the cost of common services that we all pay for. So that's going to be something that we're going to continue to focus on in terms of how we get a better deal there.
Military acquisition officials say they also have been making a concerted effort to design their service procurements in such a way that industry clearly understands what the government is asking for. They also pushed back against a frequent industry complaint that DoD is engaged in a race to the bottom by awarding contracts on the basis of the lowest price technically acceptable offer, when a best value competition would be more appropriate. Again, the Navy's Elliot Branch, whose office oversees all service contracts of $100 million or more.
We're not seeing, at least in the Department of the Navy at that level, huge employment of low price technically acceptable. Now, we had a very large and visible procurement where we did that. That was our Next Generation Enterprise Network. And I can tell you, because I worked on that one for 5 years, that our acquisition executive drug the program management community through a knothole to ensure himself that they had a very, very clear idea of what technically acceptable meant before that acquisition strategy went forward. And that message has gotten to our program management community, that if you are going to use that particular technique, you will be able to define for the senior leadership exactly what technically acceptable means.
And the Air Force's Davis says his service has committed to doing a better job of giving vendors the information they need to decide whether or not to spend their scarce bid and proposal dollars to pursue a procurement.
What we're trying to do in the Air Force is be a lot more specific about what we're going to buy in terms of be very, very specific about the requirement, what value we put on it, and what value we may or may not put on something above minimums or something above thresholds or objectives. And then we'll try to be very specific about tell you how we're going to do that source selection. So the point of it is, it's okay in some cases if companies don't bid. In fact, some businesses should not be bidding on some of the things they bid on right now, because what we're seeing that's causing us a lot of problems is a lot of things get subbed out right away, and the prime that does the work has very little vested interest in it, and we have a whole lot of issues with subcontractor management across all of our programs. Mm-hmm. And so I would say in this challenging environment, be the right business for the right program we have, be able to show the expertise there, but don't. If folks don't bid on anything, if we're down to a sole source situation because we only had one person bid because we were explicit enough on the requirements and the value of that, that's okay to me.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.